Vijaya.
Kindly describe the Kala Hantarita Naika.
Goswami.
The Kala Hantarita Naika refuses to talk with the Naika and angrily spurns him, even if he falls at her feet in the presence of other Shakyas, confessing himself. Not allowing him to touch her, she dismisses him, rages in delirium, beats her head in grief, feels debilitating languor, and breathes heavily.
Okay, so this is where she sends him away. Okay, Kandita. Kalahanta sends it to Jalasnarga. Okay. Yeah, so even here it falls at her feet in the presence of other Shakyas. Because if it's just on her own, then that's light. But if it's in front of others, then yes. That means it's very serious, right? So, but still, she's not satisfied, right? Vijaya, kindly describe the Prosita Bhaktrika Naika.
Right? Yes. Will there be examples for you?
Examples?
Which gopi
belongs to which category? No. All gopis can be in any of these. Because it's just a matter of what stage in the process they are. So either they're going to the place, they've made the arrangements, they're very comfortable with it, and that, or means, in other words, the focus is on having made arrangements, right? And then she decorates herself nicely, so it's all kind of like very pleasant, like that. Or the focus is on the arrangement itself. It means the arrangements were made, but on the facilities itself. So then the dressing is more aggressive, the arrangements are more aggressive. So you can get either kind of more pleasant or more aggressive kind of preliminary arrangement. So that makes two. Then it's a matter of there's one is peacefully sitting and one because they're expecting it's been arranged. The other is because it's more intense, so there's more anxiety about the time goes slower, right? Then it's a matter, he doesn't come on time, so then there's an anxiety. Then he does come, but then there's symptoms that he's been with some other gopi. Mm-hmm. Then there's the element where he just doesn't show up. Right, and then here's when he does come, then she gets angry and sends him away, like that. So any of these can happen, like that. So these are just different kinds of what mood which the Nayaka is in at the time, so you know how to deal. Right, because if you don't know what the mood is, you don't know how to deal. It's okay. When the Nayaka travels far away, the Nayaka is in a state of prosita. Bhartrika. She fulfills the emptiness of her lover's absence by glorifying him, feels lonely and humble, grows thin, becomes pale with melancholy, is restive, worries deeply, and becomes inert, not sleeping, dressing, or bathing herself. So these are all, so we can see is that the whole Vedic culture is based on actually very strong relationships, very strong interaction. So if someone is observing that the particular rules of that, let's say like the husband's not there,
right? So the girl doesn't, the wife doesn't dress nicely, right? So then someone might say, well, you know, what has that got to do with reality? She feels like dressing nicely. But the point is if she feels like dressing nicely, I mean, she doesn't actually have a very good relationship with her husband. Because why would she want to dress nicely? You know what I'm saying? It means the point is, as she dresses, the husband appreciates it, you know, like that, so she feels confident. But at the same time, is then she can go out and, you know, show all the other girls who's boss, right? You know, who dresses the best, who does all these things, right? But you can't do that if their husbands are there, yours is not. Right? You know, where does that strength come from? Because the point is energy is there, intensity is there, but for it to be balanced, that's there when the husband is there. It's just the nature of how what you're dealing with. So then, this rule, you don't have to apply this rule. You understand? It applies itself naturally. So if it's not applied, then one can understand, it means that either isn't a relationship with the husband, or there is no husband. Does that make sense? Like that. So that's the much of the social rules in the Vedic system are there because the relationships are very strong. So the intensity of it just naturally creates these kind of forms. Does that make sense? But just to make sure that something doesn't go off, even if someone doesn't have the right attitude, it's there just to create the balance. Otherwise, then it creates unnecessary talk. Right, Pajalpa is not important. Right, it's going to be there, but in other words, don't create something for Pajalpa. Right, people will create Pajalpa out of nothing. You don't have to worry that. Oh no, but we have to do something to create something so you know everybody has something to talk about. Don't worry, they can talk about anything. So the Vedic system is don't create anything to make rumors about. Does that make sense? Does it make some sense? So in other words, we can see is that. If there's any difficulty in the Vedic system not seeming applicable, it's not because now the modern, this is the happening thing and that's kind of old and sad. No, it's because it's so more elevated than what's going on now that, you know, does that make sense? It's like if you have a bunch of, you know, how you say, I don't know. Trying to think what comes to mind right now. Rugrats comes to mind, but I'm just saying, you know, you could find something. Meerkats? I don't know, maybe something to do with that. At something. You know, so. But then, you know, you're talking to them about human culture. You know, it's kind of like, hey, you know, we're animals. What do you mean, human culture? You understand? The difficulty is due to pride. It's not like, hey, we're tribals. What do you mean, Vedic culture? It's like, no, we're sophisticated. We're more elevated than this old, archaic Vedic culture. You understand? So that's not the... If there's any difficulty in applying it, it's because it's too elevated, not because it's not applicable. Right? Does that make sense? It means you have plenty of people that are very successful, very influential, have a very balanced life, that are very conservative. There's millions of them. And probably, in fact, probably a good majority of your stably wealthy people and stably influential people are like that. You know? And so then we say, oh, that's archaic. It doesn't work. It works like a charm. Why are you working hard? To get money, to get this, to get that. They already got it. And they're conservative. So it works fine. You understand? But, you know, it's just like, you know, when Caesar, you know, went north with his legions and they entered into Germania, right? You got there that are dressed in full bearskin outfits, you know, with a battle axe, right? They got all these war machines and sophistication. You just got big, monstrous guys out there dressed in bearskins with a battle axe. You know, and they're enthusiastic. We're not saying they're not enthusiastic because it was not easy to conquer them. It was very difficult, right? Because they're bigger than the Romans, right? Romans are trained, but these guys are big, right? So now you walk over to one of those guys and tell them, you know, they, okay, I,
It's kind of cool, the bear, you know, bearskin outfit. You know, of course, it could do with a bit of a dry cleaning, you know. But, you know, why don't you, you know, check out, you know, one of these new latest, you know, three-piece suits or something like that. It would look really good. You know, what's he going to do? You know, at best, he's just going to glare at you. If you're not so fortunate, he might lop your head off with his battle. You understand? Why? Because it just doesn't relate, you know. He's out in the forest in his bearskin outfit. What do you need a suit for? Okay? That's modern culture. You understand? They're out in the cement jungle there, and they can't relate to the Vedic culture. It's just too elevated for their consciousness. You understand this thing? We're just putting that in perspective. Because Vedic culture is for humans. If you don't like Vedic culture, that means there's something subhuman there. Right? But the glory of devotional service, it's not limited just to humans. Right? That's what I learned to Prabhupada in that Hare Krishna address. You know, said anyone can do it. Even a child can do it. Even a dog can take part. Right? So that's where we fit in. You know? Does that make sense? You know, he's either socially immature as children or, you know, more kind of doggish in our, you know. Does that make sense? Okay. Vijaya, kindly describe the Swadina Bhartrika Nayaka. Goswami, the Swadina Bhartrika Nayaka keeps your beloved enchanted, obedient, and always near her. Therefore, according to her desire, with the Nayaka, she is engaged in pastimes in the forest, in sporting water games, and picking flowers. In other words, she just keeps coming up with different things, whatever she feels like doing, because she has control of the Nayaka, then you do all those things nicely. Does that make sense? So these are how it would be, it means if it works out, means if, in other words, she could get upset, but then he could work it out, and then it would go into this. But if he doesn't work it out, then he gets tossed out. You know, and then it's not previous. Does that make sense? Because the point is obedient here is because he's enchanted. That's the whole thing. So the woman controls all this. The point is he worth enchanting? That's the bottom line. You know, that's the real point of discussion. Now, Krishna is worth enchanting, right? So therefore, you don't have to worry about it. Okay. Vijaya, the state of Swadina Bhartrika must be very blissful for the Nayaka. Goswami, when the Nayaka is spellbound by the prema of a Swadina Bhartrika Nayaka, to such an extent that he is unable to leave her company even for a moment, she is called Madhavi, one who captures the heart of the Nayaka. Right? So that's what Prabhupada's recommending. When you're dressing Radha and Krishna, dress Radha and Rani very, very nicely. Because sometimes devotees just focus on Krishna and not so much on Radha Rani. But then the point is then Krishna can go away. But you make her very attractive, Krishna's not going away. Right? So that's the whole idea. One is trying to get to this state. Right? The others are all preliminaries to this. Does that make sense? Among the eight Nayikas just enumerated, three, Swadina Bhartrika, Vasika Saja, and Abhisarika, are always joyful and decorated with numerous jewelry and ornaments. Right. Swadina, Vasika, which one is Vasika? Okay, decorate the place of tryst in one's self in expectation of the lover. Okay, and then before that was Abhisarika. Okay, yeah, so these are the two kinds that are arranging. Right? Abhisarika, she's arranged the meeting. The other, she's making the arrangements at the place. Does that make sense? Because the other, you go there, others are taking care. But this one, you yourself get into it and you get, you know, detail. Okay, and so these first two and the last ones, they're always then happy. Joyful, decorated with numerous jewelry and ornaments, whereas the other five Nayika, Kandita, Vipralamba, Utkandita, and Prosabhartrika, Prosita, but isn't this Prosita? Oh no, that was it. And Kalahantarita, abstain from fineries and ornaments, are often seen sitting discontently,
resting their left cheeks upon their clenched fists in deep melancholy, with fretful worries that torment their hearts. Right? Because the point is, these ornaments have a meaning. If they're not there, then they're removed. Right? That's one of the things when the... When Dasarath came, and then Kausalya, then she was in the room of lamentation. Kaikeyi, excuse me. Oh, Kausalya is his mother, right? Kaikeyi. So, you know, the first thing you'll notice is jewelry all over the floor. Right? It means, now, just think about it. Okay, now you're upset, so you just grab the jewelry, take it off, fling it on the floor, okay? Now that one means you would have to be very upset. So that means you are very hopeful. So the relationship is very strong, right? So that it's going into its converse would be very also intense. And two, you have to be very, very confident that there's going to be somebody that's going to put it all back together again. Right? Does that make sense? In other words, someone with maid servants, they can take off their jewelry, throw it on the floor, it goes all over the place like that, because somebody will pick it up, put it back together. Right? Maid servants don't take it off and throw it on the floor. You know? Does that make sense? They just don't put it on. They're not pleased they don't put it on. Does that make sense? So if someone who doesn't have then rips off their ornaments and all that, then you know you have a problem. You know, you got a serious problem. Vijaya, what is the significance of being so tormented by Krishna Prema? Right? Because we see out of eight Nayikas that three are joyful and five are not. Right? That makes sense? Is the proportion sinking in? Okay. Krishna Prema is Chinmaya, absolutely transcendental, and is thus always Paramananda, supremely blissful. The apparent torment one experiences in loving Krishna is simply another form of his Paramananda, of this Paramananda, even though outwardly it may appear most unpleasant. So in other words, it's only the external manifestations we would call it unpleasant, because it's absorption in Krishna. So therefore it's always Ananda. Right? In the material world, because it's not absorption in Krishna, therefore it is a disturbance, it is an anxiety, everybody suffers. But for here, then it just intensifies. Right? In other words, the joyfulness is so great. So then, now, if we look at this, then we're looking at the, you know, some are starting to get worried about the three and five here, you know, and what about the balance? But then what does that mean? Since it's always balanced, that means the intensity of those three equals the intensity of the five. Does that make sense? So it works out okay. Because the point is in some of these, the guy's not there. Right? So only when he comes and she's uncomfortable or she throws him out, then he's there for part of these five. Right? You know, so that's intense enough, you know. Does that make sense?
Can we say that the base is a spiritual world is Ananda?
It's Ananda, so yes.
It's like whatever they always feel, it's constant.
It means that absorption, but it's just the various varieties and tastes. Just like, let's say, one could say, well, how could there be Ananda in this? Right? How is there Ananda in jumping off, you know, world's highest bridge, you know, on a bungee cord? You mean, what it means... They call it, you know, when they get back up, wow, that was great, this and that. So there's that Ananda element. But it was, you know, expressed externally through fear. You understand? So the point is it's not that it's these things aren't there. Right? Or one comes in, others are making an arrangement. The arrangement is not really nice, you know, as up to your standard. But you're wanting to be nice, so then you're getting upset about something to make it nice. You understand? Because you're getting upset to make it nice, not getting upset, and then there's the destructive element. You understand? So contradictory things aren't actually a problem.
They're not quite pleasant.
That's only not pleasant here because Krishna is not the center. Because yourself is the center, that's why it's unpleasant. And because it is unpleasant, that's why then everybody else experiences it as unpleasant. Does that make sense? Yeah, it's because everything's shared. So in other words, it's Ananda, so even they're being thrown out, it's still that intensity, because that means the relationship is very strong. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Because otherwise, a girl will just get up and leave. Right? But she's not. She's staying, throwing him out. Right? Does that make sense? So, it means... So, in other words, if she cares, she throws him out. If she doesn't care, she just leaves. Does that make sense? Yeah. Does that make sense? The farther back it goes, the front, yes, no, you know, the French guy, no, she doesn't. Yeah, okay, he's farther back, yeah, okay, we can relate to it. It goes back just kind of a little bit, and as it goes farther back, then it's that, and then back to the back, it's just, it's very interesting. It is on Rasa here, so it's very interesting watching the reaction. Maharaj,
the same identity of Mother Yashoda, but it's in Ananda.
Yes, but it's not as intense. So it's yes, it's of course. In other words, if it's connected to Krishna, it's always nice. But it's just what taste it is that it's going. Just like, let's say you're eating sweets, it's nice. But let's say you're eating something nicely, you know, some nice fried things or, you know, a snack. It's also nice, but they're totally different. But that feeling of that niceness of eating something is the same, though externally it's different. Right, the sweet's not crunchy. Right, the snack is crunchy. You know what I'm saying? You have all these contradictory things there. It's crunchy and it's soft. Right, it's hot, you know, but it's sweet. It's sour, but it's salty. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's all these different. They're all contradictory flavors, but it's great. Right, if they weren't great, why are chats so popular? Right? Isn't it? No. It means that you got a puchka, right? You know, or whatever it is here. Yeah, it means it's something hard and crunchy, and inside's just water. I mean, now you don't get much opposite than that. It's not the inside is crunchy outside, a little bit soft inside. You know. You know what I'm saying? You know, like the what do you call it? The polar bears and the igloos. You know. When the polar bear goes and eats an igloo, it's crunchy on the outside, soft on the inside. Like this, but this is completely water. You don't get more opposite than that. Right? So, but everybody likes it. So the point is opposites at the same time aren't the problem. Right? Okay. In the material world, torments are undoubtedly excruciating, but in the spiritual realm, they're a variant form of ananda. One who experiences spiritual torment in Krishna prema receives only a current of transcendental bliss within the heart, since such emotions are caused by deep immersion in chinmaya rasa, transcendental mellow. This transcendental experience cannot be expressed adequately by words, right? You can only give an idea, because it's the experience. You can only give some direction. Vijaya. What are the gradations of Krishna prema in these various nayikas? Goswami, the nayikas are grouped into three categories according to their varying intensity of prema for Vrajendra Nandana Ko Krishna. They are Uttama, topmost, Madhyama, intermediate, and Kanista, junior. Should be understood that Krishna reciprocates with the different nayikas in accordance with the intensity of their prema. Right? If it's more intense, it's reciprocated more intense. It's medium, junior. Vijaya, what are the symptoms of the Uttama Nayikas? Goswami, the Uttama Nayika is prepared to give up all her dharmas, no matter how important they may be, simply to give even a moment's pleasure to her beloved. If ever the Nayika should cause her pain and sorrow, she never retaliates or shows malice. Moreover, if she hears even fabricated or joking stories that her nayika is in distress, her heart aches. Okay, so that means it's just totally connected there. Yeah, so this means that it causes their pain and sorrow. It means, you know, the joking words he uses are sometimes are just a little bit on the edge.
It seems like those left and right wings. Would
they
be here?
Not necessarily. These are all, you might have the certain more, you might have more of the getting tossed out of the kunja in the left than in the right. Does that make sense? But the element is that just whatever the mood, so you have all these at once. See, all these are going to add up. Means you have swakya and parakya, right? Mm-hmm. And within that, then we've had the, what did we have? What was that next group? You know, there are three levels within each of the. There were three groups, and each had three levels, except for the youngest. They each had two. And then the youngest ones is only one. So you ended up with seven. There was two groups with three, and then one. Right? So you have two, then you have the seven. So that makes 14. I mean, that's 7 and 14. Yes. And like that, you ended up with 15, right? Yes. Now you have these 8. Mm-hmm. So then 15 times 8. Now these 3. Yes. Then that times 3. Yes. So it just adds up. So Krishna, when you add up all the different elements of personality, you get 96. But with Radharani, you end up with 200 and something. There's a lot more going on. Mm-hmm. Right? What are the Vijaya? What are the symptoms of the Madhyama Nayika? Goswami, the Madhyama Nayika is one who is pained, but she hears that her Nayika is troubled. Vijaya, what are the symptoms of the Kanista Nayika? Goswami, the Kanista Nayika displays the tendency to be suspicious and fearful of the impediments, such as embarrassing public opinion, that check her from meeting her beloved Nayika, Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? Means the one is that you know, everything's just always absorbed in Krishna. The other one is absorbed when there's some trouble is there, so it's a bit lighter. But the other one is that the externals get in the way of the interaction. Right? So that's how you know how intense it is whether the externals have any meaning or not. So that's what was being brought out before. I don't remember if it was in this class or in the Bhagavatam class. Sometimes it's a blur between the classes. That the element of but the rules and regulations are there, but they're secondary. So when they take some more of a prominent role, then that intensity is not as great. Right? Yeah, we were giving the point of having that faith, since you don't have the element of the material here, the spiritual here, there has to be that faith that by hearing it from authority that it's worth endeavoring for. So having that faith is so absorbed that you give up the importance of the externals here. Does that make sense? Right? Yeah. So here it's saying, and when it gets to that Kanista level, then they don't cross over the externals. Right? So they don't cross over. The Uttama doesn't matter, even for a moment of good interaction, they would break any rule, right? But the Madhyama, then you know, it's there, it's in a middle state. Vijaya, how many types of Nayikas are there in all? Oh, excuse me, I said 200 something, sorry. There are 360 types of Nayikas. The first set of 15 Nayikas multiplied by the 8 moods makes 120. This further multiplied by 3 intensified intensities just mentioned makes 360 types. Okay. So this is the Nayikas.
Every day one. 360. No, basically.
Every day?
360 days. Okay, 4.
We're talking about one of these can last for a moment.
11th of the September.
Yeah, so you take...
A second level.
Yeah. No, you can only get 11 in a second. Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
All
perhaps thought, I was just thinking about the wives of the Brahmana. Do they fit into Madhyama Naika category?
But here you have to see is what means. You also have to take the intensity of what we're talking here. Here would be because we're talking Parakiya Rasa. Mm. So then it's there. So in Swakiya, then there may be certain etiquettes more in private, because in public, then you would never. There is no, that intensity is not there. But let's say something happens, then they might. You know, it's just like something comes and you hear, you know, stories of, you know, ladies lifting cars off of people. You know, it means that, you know, you tell them to move the car, you know, they have hard enough trouble opening the door, but they actually physically pick the car up. Yeah, so you have, sometimes you break rules in this way because of that intensity, but in the formal, then there's no need to, because everything's so organized that unless something goes wrong, there will be no breakage of rule. So it would only be in the private that there might be some. But generally speaking, it's not. So in your parakia, you get more of this. But you have these all throughout. You're always going to have these. Yes.
The gopis who didn't get to go to the rasa dance, would they fit in this last category? The first night.
Basically, I mean, you could say, but it's not that they didn't want to go. They were willing to break the rules, but they couldn't, because before they weren't. In other words, if you're not breaking the rules before, why would, when the time comes to break the rules, you get the opportunity? Right? Does that make sense? You know, if you're playing it safe before, then naturally the response is that.
So they consider punishment in this category?
Because this is the Naikas that they actually are interactive. So those gopis haven't even gotten to the position of technically being a Naika yet. You know, they're just in training. So it means you're going to get elements always all throughout, because some of your training has to have potential, so there'll be situations and all those things will be similar. But still here is, you're talking about the interactive. Right? Because here they're not even there to, you know, set up a rendezvous or be part of that. So, okay, 360 types of Naikas. Okay, first set of 15. Okay. Okay, so let's just put that back. Okay. Okay, so this is 40. Three types of Naikas. Three types of Naikas: Swakiya, Parakiya, and Samanya. Okay, then. Okay, so that's not real, so we don't even count that so much. Okay, here we go. Mogda, captivated; Madhya, intermediate; and Pragalva, imperious. Right? So, okay. Then what was the next group? Okay, then the... What was the next? This is 15. Kanya, unmarried. Where did we get 15? Thus there are Jeshna Madhya, Kanishta Madhya, Jeshta Pragalba, Kanishta Pragalba. Jeshta and Kanishta. Where was the Jeshta and Kanishta? Well, that mentions there, but the explanation. Because now we're going to get the 8. So here we've already got 15. But how are we getting 15? Okay, because we have Madhya, Pragalba, and we have, you know, how you say the... Mogda, Madhya, and Pragalba. But then those are applied upon something.
Oh, because Yabdira. Okay, Yabdira and something else. Okay. Yeah, okay, so you have those three, and then you have the Mugda, Madhya, and Pragalba. Right? So then the mixing of that with means you get 14, and then you add in the young gopis, right? The unmarried gopis, so there's only one. They're only captivated. You don't get the other three, so you get 15. Then this 8,
yes.
And then the 3.
Mm-hmm.
So the 15 and 8, you get 120, mm-hmm. And then the 3 of Uttama, Madhya, and Kanista, you get
360.
Okay. Gurudev, I have followed. Okay, so you have the first set of 15, then by 8 moods that they could be in, and then by 3 intensities. Right? So in other words, you have the natures of them, then you have the moods that those natures may be in, and then you have the intensities that those moods or natures may follow.
Mm-hmm.
Gurudev, I have followed your explanations on the different nayikas, and now I am eager to know more about the various and divergent personalities of the many Yuteshvaris. Goswami, Yuteshvaris of 3 kinds, Swapaksha, friends, Vipaksha, enemies, and Tatastha, neutrals. They are again divided into 3 sections according to their Saubhagya, good fortune. Right? So, in other words, they either are friends with each other, or not enemies, or neutral. So they could, means in other words, they wouldn't interact, but if there's something to interact about, they can. Does that make sense? They're not friends. But they're not enemies. But if you have a Maharas, they can all work together to create a nice situation. Does that make sense? Or something's coming up, then one group's doing something, they ask some help, then they can help because they're neutral. But after the helping, they'll just go back to neutral. Yes.
And in Maharas, the Swapaksha and Vipaksha, can they interrupt?
They may not, but then you'd always arrange it so that you have neutral in between.
Yes.
You know, it means your circle of states.
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
It's a set. Where do you think the Kshatriya Dharma has come from, and all this fighting thing has come from? It's come from here. This is the Adirasa. Then you have something to fight over, right? I mean, where in European history do you hear of someone setting out to war on 1,000 warships? 1,000, right? Even the Spanish Armada didn't have 1,000 warships that they went out with, you know, and they're considered big, right? But this one Greek king went out with 1,000 ships. What was the war over? Yes, you understand? The Mahabharata war. What's the cause of that? Okay. What about Ravana and Ram? You understand? So that's where war comes in. Now we're talking war. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay. So this is where it comes from. So all those different things is that, you know, the person here, the one there, that's your enemy. So the one on that side, that's your friend.
Yes.
Or, you know, does that make sense? The one on the other side of that's neutral. You know, so it's so in other words, arranging who's where in the rasa dance also takes management. Yeah, so it's there.
They're only in the Maharas. They will never do it in the smaller ones.
No, I mean, maybe something a little bit bigger. The Maharas is where everybody gets together. But then they have to accept that Radharani's in the middle. So if they don't accept that, the Maharas can't happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then it makes it also special because everything is included.
Yeah.
Maharas.
Yeah. Yeah. That's special. That's what Krishna does on that Saripurna.
Yeah.
Right. So then we have that. And then other times when it mentions about the Ras, maybe it's a little bit bigger because you do have so many groups that are connected. So it's how many are there that makes it bigger or smaller. But Maharas means everybody's there.
Yuteshvari is a gopi with the head of group.
Head of group, yeah. Yuteshvari means she is a gopi who actually directly interacts with Krishna.
Yes.
And then she has her astasakis. Mm-hmm. Right? Does that make sense? But Radharani, part of her astasaki is they're also Yukteswaras. Yes. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So that's a unique element. Okay, so Yukteswaras are of three kinds, so paksha, friends, vipaksha, enemies, and tatastha, neutrals. They're again divided into three sections according to their saubhagya, good fortune. Adhika, greater, sama, moderate, and lagu, light. Right? You know, so this idea that someone's a lightweight, you know, we also, where is that coming from? Okay, yeah, so we think that's just come from modern thing. No, it's also very light. Okay. And again, they are further divided into three categories according to their temperament. Prakara, harsh, madhya, moderate, and mridvi, sweet and soft. Okay. So that means then here you have 3 times 3 is 9 times 3, so already we're up to 81. So the other was Nayikas. Now we're talking about Yukteswaras. So we're already up to 81 and we've only... You know, we're only halfway through the first paragraph. Okay. So that means they're friends with each other or not, right? Their fortune is more great, you know, very great, medium or light, mm-hmm. And then their temperament itself is more. How do you say? What do you use here? Harsh, moderate, or sweet? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Yes.
Here we say that the first two that you mentioned right now can be changed.
Sorry?
The first two, like the enemies or no, and their fortune.
But maybe. That we'll see as he describes it. We'll see if that comes up. But the temperament, that's going to remain. But it, generally speaking, it can change, but means what's the need for it to change?
No, sometimes no need. But like enemies and friends.
No, but what's the need for it to change? Is there a need for Radharani in number 2 for that mood to change? Right, so then you're talking about eternal pastime. So you want the same kind of field. So therefore, the point is you have the inimical. It means how are you going to have... See, parakia means you have parakia, but if any time you go out, then you can always be with. What's going to be the feeling after a while? It's swakia. You know, it's not allowed, but it's as good as. Okay, so that if you don't have permanent enemies who can sidetrack Krishna, so that means then it's parakia within the parakia. So you need to have the enemies. Right? And the tatastha means is you want to do something bigger arrangement, or you want to make some kind of arrangement that you can't, so you know none of your people are there, so then you work through the tatastha. To help, because they don't mind helping, because they're neutral, you know. But they could also help the other side. So that's why then they're helping, but they're only helping in ways that won't politically be a disadvantage. Because when they help the other side, then they'll tell them whatever happened on this side. So therefore, they won't be involved in too intimate of things, because that you don't want to know. Does that make sense? So in other words. If you ever wondered what you were going to do eternally, there's plenty to do. You know, it's definitely a better option than, you know, sitting on a cloud playing panpipes or something. All day. You know, that's going to get boring after a while.
Would eternally be a tatastha, not getting any deep relationship? It's not
bad. No, they're tatastha with each other, not tatastha with Krishna. It's not that they're... That their friends are enemies with Krishna. The friends are enemies amongst themselves. So the one group, they have their interaction with Krishna. But whether they'll cooperate with another or whether they won't, that's another thing. So in other words, the tatastha, you don't go through their camp in the morning when they're the vipralamba that Krishna didn't show up. Because he showed up at your place and then happened to, you know, saunter through their camp and describe what happened last night. You don't do that with neutrals or friends. You do that with enemies. Right? Okay, now you're getting the taste?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the point. So there's no need for them not to be enemies. It's not like here, is you want to cut down on enemies because you expand your possibilities of opulence. You understand? It's different. Because here, adjusting enemies and friends is simply for your own influence and your own benefit. But here, because it's for Krishna's benefit, it's different. It's not necessary. It's not that, oh, well, can't they all just get along? And, you know, no, you don't have that. Those kind of people never actually make it to the spiritual world. You don't find any of them there. Okay. The Prakara Yudheshwaris express their loving sorrow and anger in the mood of Pragalba, boldness and guilelessness, right? As I mentioned before, the Pragalba. Those whose words are the least Pragalba are the Mridvi Yudheshwaris, who speak very sweetly. The speech of the Madhya Yudheshwaris is between the two. Right? Because sometimes it may be a little bit going towards the harsh, sometimes it may be very sweet. It'll have all those. So the Madhyama means you're getting both sides. Does that make sense? The Adhika Yudheshwaris are further subdivided into Adyantiki, the ultimate in qualification, and Apekshiki, highly qualified. Right, so that they may have within each one more qualified and then qualified. So everybody's qualified, but then there's more qualified. Does that make sense? So everybody's special, but then there's more special. Because if there's not special within special, then what's the special? Right? Then it becomes ordinary again. You understand how that works?
Yes.
Because right? Man thinks along the line of get at the thing, make it there, and then you just fix it that. You do that forever. And then, you know, what's the problem? You know, says, you've been using that bag for the last 20 years. No, but it works great. It goes when it fits everything. Yeah, but, you know, it's just so out of fashion. It looks like a rag. No, but it works so nice, right? You know, it's just, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, so, you know, it's got to go, right? You know, you bring in something. What to do? Therefore, you always keep your eye out for something that works. That is more up to date. Okay. 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 Does that make sense? So special always has to be there. Because qualification is special because there's more special. Right? So somehow the qualification, the specialness, then makes it. Otherwise, like we said, if there's not parakeya within parakeya, then parakeya becomes swakeya. Right? So that's why even within the swakeya, right, you have the queens. The eight main queens. But who he means technically who the king will spend the night with, then that's the parakeya aspect. So then it keeps the swakeya. Otherwise, then the swakeya. See, his parakeya, if it means always is easily available, it comes swakeya. So it just comes a little bit toned down. But if swakeya becomes just standard, then it becomes really boring. Right, so therefore that element is there with the kings, because the kings, it's all about intensity, right? They like intensity. You know, your Brahmins, they, you know, a little bit more balance is better, right? So that's why he doesn't have eight wives; he has one wife, right? Because he wants to emotionally survive. But, you know, but for the king, no, it's the challenge. You know, I said if you can handle getting out there with another king that can wipe out 60,000 other kings, and you know, and then it's just some good, clean fun, then eight wives, you know, it kind of works, you know. Eight wives, you know, on one side, an empire and a warrior on another side that can battle with 60,000 other people. They balance. You understand? Yeah. So that's the... Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's why Kshatriyas, it's allowed, but for Brahmins, it's generally, it's not recommended. It's not that they couldn't do it, but just they just don't. You know? Like that. Okay. One who is unparalleled and unsurpassable in all respects is the Andhyantiki Adhika Yudheshwari. Right? Unparalleled and unsurpassable in all respects. So that's going to be Radharani. Right? So she's going to be the Andhyantiki Adhyantiki. Right? You know, like that. There's only one of them. This position belongs to Radhika alone.
She is also Madhyama by nature and has no equal in Braja or anywhere else throughout the entire creation. Right? So now she's the unsurpassable qualification. So that means there's two qualification branches within that. But it's the one branch is filled by one person and everybody else fills the other like that. So then therefore you don't have to worry about it. But it's just, you know, categorizing then that is the way to it. And she's Madhyama. Right? She's the Pragalba is there and the Mridvi. So she's in between. So you might get that harshness, you might get that very softness or in between. It's that balance of the mix between them. Does that make sense? So that's why then all the tastes are there in its maximum qualification. So that's why Radharani is unique. Okay. Adyantiki and Apekshiki, highly qualified. Okay. Vijaya, which Yudheshvaris come under the category of Apekshiki? Adhika, the second level of qualification. The Apekshiki Adhika Yudheshvaris are comparatively superior to one or more of the other Yudheshvaris. So you have your general Yudheshvaris who are all qualified, then you have who are more qualified. Right? Highly qualified. Excuse me? Yeah, and then the ultimate. So the ultimate's only Radharani. Then amongst the others, you have highly qualified, and then you just have Adhika, greater. Does that make sense? Who are the Antyantiki Lagu Yudheshvaris? Okay, now that's an interesting question. Ultimate in qualification, but Lagu. Goswami, the Antyatiki Lagu Yudheshvara is inferior to all the other Yudheshvaris. Whereas all Yudheshvaris are inferior to the soul, Antyatika Adhika Yudheshvara Sri Radhika. Aside from the Antyatika Lagu, all the Yudheshvaris are Adhika. Therefore, there's no question of the Antyatika Adhika Yudheshvara Sri Radha being equal or inferior to any other Yudheshvara. Similarly, there's no question of Antyatiki Lagu Yudheshvara being superior to anyone else. There's just one type of Sama Lagu. There's one type, okay. However, the Madhyama Yudheshvaris are further subgrouped into nine divisions. Okay, so in other words, of the Lagu, there's only one, just Sama. There's just one group there. And on the very top, there's only one. So in the Madhyama, that's where you get all the interesting. Does that make sense? So the Lagu, there's just one group. The Madhyama, now they're going to explain, there's nine groups. And Adhika, qualified, then you're going to have Adhika, then high, the more qualified, and then the top qualified is Radharani. Right? So that way you get 1, 2, 3, 9, 12, and one more 13. Okay, subgroups. So thus there are 12 divisions of Yudheshvaris. 1, Antyatiki Adhika. 2, Sama Lagu. Adhika Madhya, Sama Madhya, Lagu Madhya, Adhika Prakara, Sama Prakara, Lagu Prakara, Adhika Mridvi, Sama Mridvi, Lagu Mridvi, and Anyantiki Lagu.
Who is it? Hmm?
It looks like. No, not so much. Because we're just worried about Radharani's group anyway. We're just showing that there are different levels. No, this is just in general. We haven't gotten into Radharani's group. See, because this is still general discussion. Vijaya, I would like to know about the different duties, female messengers. Right? Because there's the Yudheshvaris, right? Yes. Then there's the messengers. The duties are most important for the Nayikas, because the Nayikas are deeply hankering for the company of their beloved Krishna, and the duties help them to attain this goal. Duties are two kinds: Swayam duty, messengers who act on their own behalf and upon their own initiative, and Apta duty, messengers who carry the confidential intimations of another. Right? So in other words, they may act as their own messenger, or they have someone else act on their behalf. But the point is if there's not a messenger,
there's not an arrangement.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Vijaya, kindly describe the swayam duty. So it means on your own behalf. Goswami, in account of the ardent desire caused by anurag, the nayika sometimes sheds her shyness. She is enamored by love for the nayika and thus personally expresses her own loving bhava to him. Right? Because before it was mentioned that the contrariness and... not enigma.
Elusive
is there. And shyness. Those are inherent feminine qualities. So sometimes she'll drop the shyness because of her love, that the element of the anurag, right, means that she's so attracted by Krishna, right, from Vibhava, that the anuraga symptom is shyness is dropped. So she becomes more outgoing. Does that make sense? So in that, then she may make her own arrangement. But otherwise, if it's not dropped, the shyness remains, then she'll get someone else to make the arrangement. The attraction is there, but the shyness is there, so someone else has to contact Krishna. But if the attraction is there, right, from you know, Krishna as the Udipan, right, then but that shyness is dropped, she can make her own arrangement. Okay? These sentiments are expressed in the form of abhiyoga, intimations, in three ways. Kayika, by bodily gestures. Vachika, by speech. And chakshusha, by glances of the eyes. Right? Does that make sense? So in other words, it's still the element of elusive is still there. Because others watching may not being able to understand. Does that make sense? So in other words, some kind of sign is there. Intimation. Does that make sense? So that therefore it's one of the elements why a nayika drops a nayika is if you can't understand intimations. Subtle signs if she gives and he doesn't respond, then they may drop that person. You know, you're coming into the situation, you start talking and this and that, and it's the wrong way of talking and she looks or does something or, you know, something, and you don't catch it, then it's like, this guy's a bozo, why be with him? You understand? So you have to be able to catch subtleties, because if the point is if the girl is elusive, then if you can't catch the ones where she's actually directly being elusive, how you'll catch the ones where she's being more obvious about the elusiveness. You understand? So that means if you can't deal in a public thing or some other thing and catch what the mood, how are you going to deal when she's really being elusive? Does that make sense? Because if she's relaxed and natural, then she can be elusive and this and that as she likes. Right? It's when it's in public, it's more formal. So the contrariness, the elusiveness is less, the shyness is more. And the other ones, then they can balance. Right? Vijaya, what is vachika? Abhiyoga. Okay, so it's bodily kaya, speech, and glances. Vachika abhiyoga is expressed in vyanga, a form of speech that subtly carries hints and suggestions, giving vent to feelings of the heart. Right? In other words, they don't directly say, hey, you want to meet out on the tree over there? You know, next to, you know, they don't, that doesn't happen. Vanga is of two kinds. Okay. Okay. Expressed in vanga, a form of speech that subtly carries hints. Okay. Vyanga is of two kinds. Shabda vyanga, the hint is given by words and their intonation. And arta vyanga, the hint is given by hidden meanings in the words. Right? Means, in other words, how are you using the words with the intonation? Then that's one way of doing it. And it can be another way. There's no intonation elements in it. It's just the words are a riddle. Does that make sense? So they have hidden meaning. So from that you can understand. Does that make sense? It means here he's not so far giving examples.
So it is the messenger who is making some arrangement.
Yes.
By herself.
No.
this means this point of the Vajika, the Abhiyoga, that will be used by all of them. But the point is whether she does it herself or not. Because it's understood, if you're not Swayamduti, you're acting on someone else's behalf. That's obvious. So what does that mean when you act on your own behalf? So that's been explained.
Okay.
So what we're discussing is how the arrangement is made.
Okay.
Right? So mm-hmm. It's some kind of Abhiyoga, intimation. So now the vocal ones are of two kinds. It's either how you use the voice or what words, how the words are put together and their separate meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Sometimes Krishna is the subject of the Vyanga, and sometimes the Vyanga pretends to be related to something else. Right? Because you may be talking about Krishna, but the words that you're saying are about something else. Right? Does that make sense? It means the secondary meaning. Or you may be talking about something else altogether. Talking about the weather. You know, but how you talk about the weather, you can understand that it means it's an arrangement. Right? Does that make sense? It means the girl comes up to Krishna and says, Mother Jashoda is calling you. So was that an intimation or not? No. Okay. So that means that's not this kind of messenger. Right? The messenger comes up to Krishna out of the blue and starts talking about the weather. And the niceness of how it is you love the full moon nights and the wonderfulness of Vrindavan and all these kinds of things. Where did that come from? What does it mean? You understand? So that's an arrangement, right? Now, if someone else happens to hear, then it's just talking about the weather. Yes, no?
Yes.
Okay. It's been too long for this crowd. Maybe we need a group of teenagers for this.
Yeah, 20 years.
Okay. Okay. Vijaya, in what way does Krishna become the subject of Vyanga? Goswami, Vyanga works in two ways when making Krishna its subject. Sakshat, direct, and Vyapadesha, upon pretext. Vijaya, what is Sakshat Vyanga, a direct hint? Goswami, Sakshat Vyanga is of many types, but mainly three.
Right, so each one gets finer, 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 right?
So in other words, that's why this is the science of bhakti yoga. Right? Like that. And we're saying it's just sentiment. No, this is science. Right? But there is of many types, but mainly three. Right? Because your three are the main, but then you have combinations of those. Garva, words of praise. Akshepa, words of accusation and lamentation. And achkya, words conveying yearning and requests. Okay. The akshep garva. Okay, words of praise. So kindly explain akshepa vyanga, words of accusation and lamentation. Goswami, akshepa vyanga leads to two other varieties of love lord vyanga. Shabdota, one using the sound of words, and artota, one using poetic meanings of words. Right? In other words, the sound of the word is what you're giving the indication.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we say, we'll meet over there. We'll meet over there. You understand? That's using the intonation. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. You are a student of Alankara, when poets have used the same. Therefore, I think citing examples is unnecessary. Because right? Vijaya is a... in other words, you've noticed that there is no more... Who was the other... There was Vijaya, and who was the other devotee? Vrajanath. You don't find Vrajanath anymore. Why? Because this is all conjugal ras. Well, he was into, friendship. Yes. So he's just not here.
Yes.
Like that. So, therefore... In other words, for this to make more sense, you need more qualification. Right? So we're just going through it because this is the book. And then we understand that something is there, right? It's not that the karmis have know what they're doing when it comes to relationships, right? You know, you wouldn't be able to get this out of any sociologist, psychologist, or, you know, anybody. You're not going to get that.
But marriage, this is the origin of the reflection in the material world.
This is the origin of everything. Everything is just following this, just people don't know the science.
Yes.
Right. Vijaya. Yes, that is correct. Kindly elucidate Yachna Vyanga. Allusions carrying requests. Goswami. Yachna Vyanga is of two types. Svartha, in one's self-interest, and Parartha, in the interest of others. In Swarta Achnya, the duty requests for herself, and in Parartha Yachnya, she faithfully conveys the requests of someone else not present. Both these Yachnya Vyanga are embellished with Shabda Vyanga, hints by word indotation, and Artha Vyanga, hints by hidden meanings. Right. So, in other words, the thing they're doing for themselves or others, then that's part of how that's used. In other words, each one of these can be used for yourself or used for someone else. Right? When bhava is united with the words, it becomes sanketika yachna, emblematic yearning. Right? So then, not only is the words used, but then the whole bhavas or the ecstatic symptoms become also mixed with it. So it becomes even more intense. Vijaya. Thus far we have heard mostly about Sakshad Vyanga, which I have understood. The Shabda Vyanga suggests by word indotation, intonation, and Artha Vyanga suggests by word meanings are present in the Nayika's speech when she addresses Krishna directly with Abhiyoga Vakya. Messages, requests, or complaints. These have been expressed in plays and dramas by authors and poets through the clever use of words and their nuances. How is Vyapadesha used in Vyanga? Okay, Vyapadesha. What? Garva, Ksepsha. Yachna. What was the appodation?
It's a new term.
It's a new term. Okay. Okay, the word Vyapadesha is a technical term derived from the word apadesha, disguise or pretext, that is found in Alankara Shastra. Vyapadesha factually means to use some other topic as a pretext to convey a confidential matter. In other words, you may talk one is to Krishna about something connected with Krishna. Right? So that's sakshat. Then the other is that you're talking about something not connected with Krishna. It's just some other poetic thing. Does that make sense? Like you say, the bird the cuckoo is lamenting at the how do you say? At the separation from her partner, and is therefore crying softly in the tree by the bank of the river. Okay? So it's just poetry. Okay? But Radharani is the bird, the tree is a specific tree. You know, does that make sense? You know, Indi Kala, you know, Sringarvat, like this, you know, and the river then means the Jamuna. Mm-hmm. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
But if you change this, it can be the pond or the lake or, mm-hmm. and waits by her favorite lake. Mm-hmm. So what's Radharani's favorite lake?
Sanakun.
Yeah, so you understand? That's the other one.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When Radharani is speaking to the bees, bumblebee, is it one example of that?
No, but that's not a messenger. She's not being a messenger.
Oh, yes.
Like that. It may have those elements. It may have those elements, but this is about how a messenger gives a message.
Yes. Yes.
Because the point is, if there's no message, there's no arrangement.
Yes.
Like that. The direct meaning of a speech spoken by to Krishna by the Nayika will convey the obvious. But by the employment of Vyapadesha Vyanga, a second meaning is implied. So that means it has two meanings. It means the one has an obvious direct meaning, external, that actually applies to the situation. And the other is the hidden meaning. Such language will carry a secret prayer lovingly soliciting Krishna's company and the opportunity to serve him. This is the definition of Vyapadesha. Also, sometimes this form of speech is artfully conveyed for a shaki by her faithful duty. Right? So she may do it herself, or someone who's faithful will do it. Because the point is the messenger has to be someone who can get it done. Because it can't be that they go there and so many obstacles, they couldn't get to Krishna, couldn't give the message. You know, that's not going to work. The point is, you know, they have to get through. Does that make sense? Vijaya, I see. Vyapadesha is a form of artful speech, full of secret intimations whose hidden meaning carries a yachna, request. Thus I have understood. Now if there is more, kindly explain. Goswami, yes, there's another specific kind of expression that also uses pretext, known as Purusha, Vishaya, Gata, Viyoga. When the Nayika speaks to Krishna and considers that, quote, he seems to be listening, but perhaps he is really not. Then she begins to speak about a nearby bird, beast, or tree. This is known as Purusha Vishaya Gata Viyoga, addressing some other entity in the presence of the Nayika to attract his attention and convey a meaning. This is also of two kinds, because he may be talking with someone else. Because the point is if this girl is around with Krishna, he's always surrounded by loving devotees. So therefore, he may have to pay attention to them. So she has to somehow or another... She has to somehow or another catch the conversation. Because she said whatever it is, but Krishna didn't seem to hear. So she has to actually capture the conversation. Does that make sense? But so that means it has to be something that everybody else can listen to. Right? So she's talking to him by talking to the bird or something, you know, or the tree or, you know, something interesting happening, right? Because there's always something going on, so there's always something to catch. Right? You know, just like in general, you know, the saying is the mother-in-law chastises the daughter to instruct the daughter-in-law. You know, in other words, you don't directly talk to the person, you talk to who's connected to the person. That only works if the daughter-in-law and the daughter are friends. This is also of two types, shabdota using the intonation of words and artota using the poetic meanings of the words. You know, so if you say, oh, the bird looks so lonely, she looks so lonely, you know, so then there's something about loneliness and she, you know, like that, you know, oh, she must be sitting in the tree waiting for her lover, you know, like that, so then you know, and it's been so long like that, and the lover always comes, you know, this is the time when, you know, so, you know, yeah, does that make some sense? Yeah, okay. Vijaya, by your grace I have understood messages carried by words. Now kindly elaborate upon kayika abhiyoga, messages conveyed through bodily language. Goswami, kayika abhiyoga is done in the presence of Krishna. In many ways the body of the kshaki may send signals to him.
gesturing with the fingers, moving quickly upon some pretext, covering one's body out of apparent fear or shyness, drawing figures upon the ground with one's toes, scratching one's ears, appearing to apply tilak as a symbol of chastity, playing about with one's dress, playing with one's necklace, making one's eyebrows dance, embracing a shaki, chastising a shaki, biting one's lips, stringing a necklace, jingling one's ornaments, displaying one's armpits by raising one's arms, embracing a tree upon which one is, upon which one has etched Krishna's name. So it seems writing names on trees also goes back to the spiritual world. But here it's all Krishna's, you know, Krishna's name. Okay, and Vrindavan, that guy, you know, Sadhu paints, you know, so it's pretty standard. And similar movements are all kayika or angika abhiyoga, messages through bodily language. Does that make sense? So in other words, it's something that connects to something that Krishna would know about. And then from that, then, does that make sense? Like you go and there's some water there, so you play in the water. So then that means some play in either the Jamuna or in Radhakund. Does that make sense? If it's an evening, it'll mean Jamuna. If it's the morning, then it'll mean Radhakund. Is that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Vijay, what are Chakshusha Abhiyoga? Goswami, smiling with one's eyes, half opening one's eyes, making one's eyes dance, expressing hesitation with one's eyes, looking out the corner of one's eyes, glancing with only the left eye, crooked and squinted glances, and the like are messages and feelings conveyed through one's eyes. So then, because there you can't do anything else. Physically someone would catch it, words someone would catch, so you have to catch a moment where just Krishna is seeing. So in other words, the messenger has to be so expert that whatever facilities are available, whatever resources are available, either through the glances, through the words, or through the bodily expression, they can arrange the meeting. Yes.
The messengers be younger, or does it have to be?
No, it's going to be anyone. Like Brinda, she's one of the primary messengers. So she's not younger. It may be. Maidservants are, but it says confidential. So the confidential maidservants, they may make arrangements like that. So, because they can go anywhere because they're young. So they can go into anybody's house and this and that. But, you know. And the point is they're married. Right? So one is, look at it. If you don't have para, if you don't have, means this age there, like 15, 16, that's the age, right? You know, sweet 16, it's not sweet 17, or really getting better 17, or wow, fabulous 18, or, you know what I'm saying? Like that. I think in the modeling world, they have, and once it goes past 16, they start to have really weird terms, like that, you know, it's just like, we'll say over the hill at 30, you know, you're over the hill at 21 there. You know, your history. You know, so the thing is that's the point, right? So now, how do you have parakia if you're not married? Right, because if you're unmarried but you're getting together, it's not lawful, but you could be married. Right, so it's not actually pure parakia. You're already married, so how can you be? Okay, now you have these junior girls, and they can assist, and they can be part of the whole parakia scene. But what does that mean? To be parakia. Same point? It's not rocket science here. It means they also have to be married. So therefore, they're getting married when they're like that, 11, 12 years old. Does that make sense? Because once you're married, you're a full member of the community, of the adult community. Like that. So you have a 12-year-old girl, and she can move freely in the community like anybody else. But now a girl who's unmarried, if she's not with her mother or with her father or brother or sister or somebody, there's a problem. Why is she on her own? You understand? But the other girl could walk from one house to another, this or that, and no one's going to say anything. You understand? So there's also that intensity of interaction is there. Does that make sense? So the Vedic has a reason for it. But due to lack of qualification, then, you know, everything gets put back older. Does that make sense? But why here? Because then it all works nicely. So, Kvijaya, so far you've described the Swayam duty, the one who gives messages on her own behalf, very systematically, but briefly knowing well that there are unlimited types of Swayam duty. However, who are the apta duties? Those who carry the messages of another. And how many types are there? Goswami. Those Shakis who would never breach another Shaki's trust and leak out confidential matters, even at the point of death, are called apta duties. Right? It's not that other gopis are catching them and then, you know, torturing them. It's just that, but that's the mood. Even on, you know, death, they would not break the confidence. Right? They are extremely affectionate, loyal, and superb conversationalists. Because if you're not a superb conversationalist, how do you come up with all that poetry? How do you come up with all the different things? Does that make sense? Because in poetics, you have the verbal, you have dance, and you have all the abhinai, right? Because when you have theater, right, the main thing is the eyes, the facial expressions. Then there's the bodily positions that go with that, right? Then there's the words, the poetry that's used. Does that make sense? So that's theater. That's your Gandharva Veda. So if you're not expert in at conversation and all these, how are you going to be good at messages? You know what I'm saying? It's just like, I think it was, I can't remember who it was. I don't know if it's one of the Tamil stories or if it's one of the Vedic Puranic stories. Something, I'm not sure, but there was a big gathering of kings, you know, with the princes and all that. I don't know what it was, if it was the Swayamvar, why they were together, the Yagya or something like this. And then this one boy, one of the princes, he sees this girl, you know, and they just immediately are attracted. So but they're leaving. They can't, you know, because she's with the parents, she can't just come over and he can't just walk up to her and talk because you don't know who she is and what the kingdom is, because it may be their enemies. So you just can't do stuff like that, right? It means Romeo and Juliet, then it didn't work out so good because of that element. Right? You know, if the, what is it? Capulets and the, what is it? Montagues, or what? Who are the other guys?
Montagues.
If they had been best of friends, I don't think it would have been a problem, and it wouldn't be a big story. No one would care. You know, boy, you know, hangs out with girl from next door. You know, yeah, let's make a movie, right? You know, right? No, okay. So therefore, then they can't figure out, you know, how do they meet? So as she goes, she just goes like this and that, you know. So, and then he understands, right? Because of the thing of the thunderbolt and the mountain. So there's somehow or another has something to do with defining their particular dynasty. Right? So then now he can find out about it and then find out where she is and this and that. Does that make sense? So, but those are all things from dance. You know, when they come out and they do like this, that means there's a storm and, you know, stuff like, does that make sense? That's the lightning coming. So that's why in the Vedic culture, it's not for hidden things, but it's just for understanding the subtleties, is all the girls learn dance. They don't dance in public, but they learn dance, because then you know what they're saying in the dance. Because it's not just, I mean, some odd Bollywood stuff, you're just kind of moving around and making some kind of thing like that. It has no meaning whatsoever. But in the traditional systems, there's meaning to every movement, every eye. It means the whole story. If you know, someone who knows it can sit there next to you and tell you this whole story, what's going on by the person dancing. So that's why it's learned by everyone. But it's not used. Does that make sense? Okay. Only such versatile young gopis endowed with all virtues are the favored duties of the Vraja Nayikas. Right? Versatile means they're clever, They can do all these means. In other words, because physically, because she may have a great thing to say, but there's no opportunity to say it. Right? Or she may know how to do, you know, something with physically, but it's not there. So she only has the eyes. You understand? Or you can't make the eyes because people are watching the eyes. You know, there's other ladies there who are watching. So therefore, you say you can say something because they'll know physical forms and eyes what that means. Right? Does that make sense? Like that. So you have to know what you can use with who. So versatile young gopis endowed with all virtues, because they have to have good virtues. One, because then everybody, one, will trust them, and two, you can trust them. Mm-hmm. Right? Vijay, how many types of apta duties are there? Goswami, there are three types of apta duties. Amitartha, the possessor of wonderful tactics. Nisrishtartha, the possessor of witty arguments. And Patrahari, the bearer of confidential letters. Right, because even if you're bearing a letter, so all you have to do is give the letter, you still have to be very clever at giving the letter. You know, you can't just walk up and say, here's a letter from Srimati Radharani. You know, does that make sense? Okay. The Amitartha duty is skillfully aware of the implications conveyed by innuendos and hints. Using these with great skill, she immediately arranges a rendezvous between her mistress and her beloved. Okay? Now, there's two ways here. Is that skillfully aware of implications conveyed by innuendos and hints. So what does that bring out? That means that they all may be together. And so the Nayika, right, has given through hints, innuendos, to the messenger to give that message to Krishna. Does that make sense? Like that. So even it's just being arranged at a time. It's not she sat down and went through everything. And so we're meeting tonight at, you know, this place and this place. What did I say? Yes, we're meeting tonight at this place and this place. No, this place, not that place. Okay, this place, not that place. You got it? Okay, what time? No. It's not like that. This means through just innuendos, she's able to convey that you should convey the message. Right? So in other words, the message is conveyed and that it's to be conveyed. Does that make sense? So that means they have to be very skillfully aware of the implications conveyed by innuendos and hints. Using these with great skill, she immediately arranges a rendezvous. So she's used them. Now she arranges the rendezvous. The Nishritarta duty brings the lovers to union by witty logic and clever persuasion. The faithful Patrahari duty is the carry of confidential written messages. Right? Because here you have to be able to bring them together, because that you can then talk and stuff. But the point is here, it's even you're out where it's private, then there may be something where they're not getting together. Right? So either you come up and say something and then one party then knows the other party, or even it's that they're not willing, you have to bring them together. Does that make sense? Vijaya, are there any more types of apta duties? Goswami. Shilpa Karani, artists. Daivagya, astrologers. Lingini, ascetic Brahmin girls. Party Charika, maidservants. Datreyi, nursemaids. Vanadevi, the goddesses of the Vrindavan forest. Those are all assistants of Vrindadevi. The Shakis and many others are also considered apta duties, right? So another, you may have the maidservant is doing that, but all these others may be able to do. Because the astrological thing, they come to read, you know, they just come in and make a show of, you know, they're an astrologer, so they come to read Krishna's chart, right? So then they'll say all kinds of nice things and this and that, but then they'll also be talking about the arrangements. Does that make sense? The Shilpa Karani duties, artists use their talents in drawing and painting to express the feelings of the lovers for union, thus propitiating their rendezvous. The Daivagya, astrologers use their astrological knowledge to guide the lovers to a secret union at an auspicious time. The Lingini, Brahmana girls, and ascetics such as Tapasvini, Purnamasi use their knowledge and social position to remove obstacles to the fulfillment of their lovers. Because otherwise there may be something that's not there, right? The gopis aren't allowed to go out, but by through doing worship of the sun god, then they'll get all benediction, then everything will work very nicely in their household. Therefore, the mothers of these girls should allow them to go out and do this worship. Right? But, you know, anybody else can't say that, but Purnamasi can say that because she's an older ascetic Brahma. Right?
So, right, this means that the messenger can be also men, like astrologer or artist?
So far it's Lingini, Daivagya, it's all female right now. But you can have males. It means like Maru, Mangal. But generally, they'll be messengers for Krishna.
For Krishna, yes.
Does that make sense? You know, like, Krishna's standing there. You know, when the gopis come from Varshana to Nandagam, right, in the morning to cook, so they're going to come in through that particular path and gate. So then Krishna will be standing there on the side, a little bit out of the way, so it's not that he has anything to do with them. And Madhu Mangal, as she walks in, he puts a golden garland of champa flowers around Krishna's neck, right, just as the gopis come in and can see. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those, if it doesn't make sense, don't worry about it. That's the problem. Okay. In addition, there are many parichārika, maidservants, such as Lavanga Manjari and Banu Mati, faithfully and brilliantly arranging the meetings of the lovers. Lavanga is one of the ghost songs. Lavanga?
Sanatana.
You sure?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. The Datrayi are women who have been nursemaids to Sri Radha and the other gopis. So they're older women who are respected, and so they can move around freely and go up to Krishna. No one will think anything that they're going up and talking to Krishna, because they're one of the maidservants. It means they're one of the nursemaids.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Yeah. They arrange meetings. The Bana Devi, the Abhishtatari Devis, presiding deities of the Vrindavan forest, carefully carry messengers between the lovers. Right? Yeah, so here, carefully, you know, so that nobody knows, nothing gets lost. The devoted Shakis have been mentioned earlier. They and many other gopis also act as apta duties. As the need arises, they may become vachika duties, conveying messages spoken directly with unequivocal meanings, and they may also become vyanga duties, delivering messages in shabda vyanga, intimations given by word, intonation, and art of vyanga. Right? So they may go up directly, unequivocal meanings. Krishna's alone, they can just go up to him and say something directly. Right? Okay. Intonation and art of yanga, intimation is given by hidden poetic meanings. The complete gamut of abhiyoga conveyed by the nayika by all these duties is vyapadesha, statements with a hidden meaning. Shabdamula, the intonation of words. Artamula, direct poetic word meanings. Prasamsara, words of praise. Akshepa, words of lamentation. And yajya, words conveying yearnings and requests. Vijaya Kumar keenly absorbed this esoteric analysis of the different types of intimate devotional service. Offering prostrate obeisances at his guru's lotus feet, he begged permission to leave. While he was slowly walking home, his mind was alive and enthralled in deliberation upon all the most esoteric knowledge he had just received. Okay. We got through a chapter. This last one means the next one is starting with 26, 36. So okay, we have two chapters here. Okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Prabhupada ki,
yeah.
Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki,
yeah.
Chaitanya Gaura Prema.